also had.
Okay, welcome to today's Board of Commissioners, County Commissioners meeting. We're thankful for all of you who are joining with us today. We do have two open lines for people participating in this meeting electronically, and we did want to make sure that you could hear us okay if you are participating electronically. If I could just get a confirmation on that, please.
Yes, this is Randy Larson. Hearing well.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Randy, for that confirmation. As is typical, we will look to the audience for volunteers to open our meeting with a prayer, reading, or thought, and someone to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have any volunteers for either one of those? In the back, which would you like? Okay, fantastic. And Ezra? Thank you. And
our Father in heaven, we are very grateful to be able to join together today to participate in public discourse, and we're grateful for the opportunity and the freedoms that we have in this country. Please bless us with spirit of unity and peace, and we are so grateful for all of thy blessings. Please continue to watch over us and help those in need at this time, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you to our volunteers. We will begin today's meeting with a public hearing regarding the conducting and the issuance of a proposed bond from the county. I'd entertain a motion, and as a point of clarification, it should have been broken out in this verbiage that at following the completion of the public hearing, we will have an opportunity to move to adopt, just for clarification purposes.
I'll make a motion that we move into a public hearing as published in on our agenda.
With the absence of a third commissioner, I will be suspending the rules for the remainder of this meeting and second the motion. The public hearing is now considered open. Any member of the public wishing to speak to the proposed issuance of the bonds may do so now. Seeing none in person, are there any participating electronically who would like to speak? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing.
Second, all those in favor of closing the public hearing, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Public hearing is now closed. As noted, we will now have the opportunity to move to adopt. Commissioner Lee, I'd entertain a motion.
Is this
maybe
the one?
Dave, if you.
Yes, I can clarify that. Actually, Matt Dugdale is here. We'll let him speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt Dugdale, please.
Yes, thank you. I'll take this off. Commissioner, it's great to be with you today. And we've been here before with this type of a bond issuance. Just by way of a quick background, when the county issues bonds, it does so through the tax-exempt bond market, and that allows the county to borrow at lower interest rates because the investors that receive the interest payments don't have to pay taxes on those interest earnings, and so they offer lower interest rates. And this tax exemption is afforded to local governments in general, but also to some corporations. However, there's certain state code and federal tax code that has to be followed in order to do so. In the past, the county has issued what's called conduit bonds for Intermountain Healthcare, which is a 501c3 corporation. And in doing so, gives Intermountain Healthcare access to the tax-exempt interest rate markets. And these bonds will be issued by the county, but in conjunction with that, the county will also enter into a loan agreement with Intermountain Healthcare, which fully indemnifies the county for any debt service or otherwise any payment. So no tax dollars will go towards these bonds. And Randy Larson, bond counsel to the county, is also on. He can give more of the legal perspective. But as financial advisor to the county, I've reviewed the documents, I've reviewed the indemnifications, and I'm comfortable with these bonds being issued. Also in attendance today is McKay Owens, the Director of Capital Markets for Intermountain Healthcare, and he and his team have done a great job, very thorough and feel comfortable with the process that they've gone through. Also, Intermountain Healthcare is representing bond counsel Ryan Bjerke with Chapman and Cutler. Happy to answer any questions, commissioners, but maybe could give Randy Larson a second to maybe discuss the legal perspective.
That'd be great. Randy?
Sure. I'm sure everybody would love to have a long oration for the legal terms of these bonds, but I appreciate the introduction that Matt had. I will be brief. By virtue of coming to the county to obtain this tax-exempt interest rate, the county simply acts as a conduit, as Matt described. You're indemnified from debt service. Our job as your bond counsel is to review the documentation to make sure it's in that form before. The county has done this before. Based on that premise, state law would furthermore even disallow any revenues from the county for being used to make debt service payments on these bonds. So state law also protects you by virtue of eliminating that ability. So our firm has reviewed the documents as submitted by the Intermountain financing team. We find them in appropriate order, and as your counsel, we would recommend approving that and agree with the concept that, of course, this is not a debt or obligation of the county.
Thank you, Randy. It may be of public interest, the lion's share of the proceeds of the bonds will go towards the new primary children's being built in Lehigh and Spanish Fork Hospital and University Hospital. Ryan, is there anything else that you'd like to add to the discussion representing Bond Council of Intermountain?
If the commissioners would like, I can explain the three resolutions if you feel comfortable. I'll leave it to you.
I know, I'm comfortable.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it too.
Yeah, very good.
Okay.
The advantage, I want to make sure and just point out the advantage with going through the county, there is an interest rate advantage that comes instead of going through state, let's say, for instance. And I think that's kind of the reason why we see some of these that come up, because of that little advantage that's there, which in big dollars makes a little bit bigger advantage. But
it does, yes.
Again, there's no risk for us to do this, to facilitate that. But it does allow for partners, you know, like Intermountain Health is a partner with the county in so many different ways, yes. You know, to take advantage of that little bit of interest that is probably critical in a certain extent.
Yes, absolutely, Commissioner. That's a great point to make. The tax exempt markets are very favorable when it comes to interest rates. The county has issued two recent tax exempt bonds for refunding purposes, as you're aware, in the last 7 months. And in doing so, saved about $9.1 million on a present value basis. And so, yes, that benefit's very, very real.
And yeah, and this is Randy. I paused to butt in over the phone. I hope I'm not being too intrusive. But to Commissioner Lee's point, that interest rate savings does not come out of the county's budget. It's it comes out of a tax break to the investors. And that's why they're willing to pay a lower interest rate, just for public perception that it's not a hit to the county's budget to issue these bonds.
So happy to answer any other questions.
No, I have none.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Very good. All right. And at that point, we would consider the motion for adoption.
Okay. Just a note that the adoption language is also, it was published in the public hearing section, but we'll take consideration in our commission meeting. And use the adoption language that has been posted to, and I move that we adopt the resolution as stated.
I will second that. I have a motion to adopt the resolution as stated. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion will carry unanimously 2-0. We will now go through the process of building our agenda. At this point in time, all items will be considered moved to consent unless held for further discussion. We do have a rather large agenda today with a total of consent and regular agenda items, I believe, of about 84 items. So please be patient as we work down through building our agenda. At the end, we will give opportunity for everyone who wishes to speak, an opportunity to speak to each potentially actionable item. For me, I have got on consent agenda, first consent agenda item number 11 to be held, as we need to take action to approve or deny. I have consent 27.
Is that 27?
Oh, excuse
through?
Me.
Is that 27 through?
20, yeah, that's, I hadn't yeah, quite yeah. completed that. Yeah, and yeah. I was just counting through the numbers here. So consent agendas item numbers 27 through 48 to be held for discussion. Moving to our regular.
Can I, number, so I don't mind leaving number 8 on consent on there for approve and authorizing with the understanding that the monies comes from the regular budget other than the 1100 account.
Okay.
So I don't mind leaving that on there if you agree to that.
That works.
Okay. And then you had 11, number 13. Number 22, and those are the ones I think I had on consent. Yes.
Okay. Okay, moving to regular agenda, I had number 3 and 4 to be held.
If we could keep items 1 and 2 and take specific action on those, but okay. In the open meeting, that would be great.
We can do that, 1 and 2 for action. 3 and 4 for discussion. I have regular agenda item number 9 to be stricken, as that was already taken care of last week. I have regular number 12 to be held, so we can actually set that. I have regular agenda item number 18 to be stricken. I have a request for regular agenda item number 22 to be continued for I believe a week,
one week.
And I have a request that regular agenda item number 30 also be continued. I have a regular agenda item number 34 to be held for discussion, as we need to identify the entity there.
Okay, number, you held number 12, right?
Yep.
12 is held. Can we hold number 13 as well? Just for clarification. And then number 16 refers to a letter, a signing of a letter, which we don't have. I did not see it on here, unless it was uploaded.
It's recently been uploaded.
Has it recently been uploaded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apologize for that.
I've seen the letter, so I'm good. I just want to make sure it was on the documents. No, we'll leave that one off.
You're okay.
Yep. Continue. You held number 34, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay. We'll, other than the items noted, all items will be considered moved to consent, and as a result are considered approved, passed, or ratified. Are there any items that were moved to consent that anyone wishes to speak to?
Commissioners, Robert Moore, County Attorney's Office.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you put 27 through 48. 25 was also the same type of agreement on consent, but for Payson. I don't know if you intentionally left that on consent or if you wanted to.
Oh, no.
Nope, I dismissed that in the in the order of it all.
So you want to hold 25?
So we would hold 25 to be kind of lumped with 27 through. Thank you for catching that, Rob. Okay, seeing no public comment for items moved to consent, we will now move to consent agenda item number 11. This is regarding the approval or denial of a request for a waiver for an event permit. I know for me, it looked like they met some criteria to probably hold this. Richard, would you like to address it briefly?
Sure. Richard Nelson, Public Works. This is a request from an event permit applicant looking to have a fee waiver for a foot race that are going to do that would impact one of our county roads. As far as I can tell, this is not a 501c3 entity. I believe that's something that's part of our criteria. They did want to still present this before the commission. I don't know if the applicant is here or not. I'm not aware of that, but that's, in my mind, it doesn't meet the criteria, so I don't believe that we can consider this.
Okay. Good good observation on that. And that this is for a fee waiver, and have they put an application to use the to run it? I mean, to go across the roads?
Yes. And they have submitted the application.
And you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Part of it, just not the fee waiver? Okay. Okay.
Okay. Entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion that we deny the request as stated number 11 on our published consent agenda.
Second. I have a motion and a second to deny the request as stated in consent of number 11. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry 2-0. Next, I have consent agenda item number 13, which was to look at the signing of an agreement between Utah County and Murray Glass. Commissioner Lee?
Can you just kind of go down through this? And my overall, well, I'll just let you tell us what we're doing here on this one.
Basically what this is the two entryways here are in the lobby. It's to redo those doors and storefronts as you come into the building, the glass and frame systems on both the north and south entrances right here in the lobby.
Okay, and that's a needed and necessary thing that needs to be done?
Yes, yep. We've had times where we've had to actually fit the doors back together because of sagging doors and things like that. They're approaching 30 years old. Well, they're more than that. They're 34 years old for when this building was built, and they're just in need of being redone. So
my biggest question with that was, during these economic times that we have, is this an absolute needed and necessary thing to be done this year?
Absolute, probably not, but it is something that needs to be done. It's something that's been on the list for several years to be completed, and it would help with the energy efficiency of the building and the public entering the building we have had times where we've actually had glass broken out of the doors because of how they've jammed, and I think it's probably something that we do need to do.
Okay. I don't know. Your thoughts, Commissioner? I guess I could go either way listening to it. That was the only reason why I thought we ought to have discussion with it.
I know that our buildings folks feel like it needs to get done because of the condition of the existing storefronts that are there. So,
right. And I guess for my biggest question is, as long as you feel like we've gone through the proper process of bidding and making sure that we're getting the best value for this investment, if it's something that truly needs done, I'm okay having it be done.
So. Okay, fair enough. I'll make a motion then that we approve and authorize the signing of the agreement as stated number 13 on our published consent agenda.
I will second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion will carry 2-0. All right. Next, I had a consent agenda item number 22 held.
Yes. This one. I know it's ratification. Part of my concern in there is that all along the process, I have been asking lots of questions about it. It's three message signboards for use. I have concerns why we can't rent these instead of purchasing them. They're coming out of the CARES Act funding, which we haven't really built a criteria status of what's highest and best use, and so I haven't been in favor of this all along, which puts us at a weird dynamic right now because we've got two of us here, and I realize that, and it's a ratification which can be ratified later if so be, but I'm concerned about spending money for purchases of this nature, and I'm also a little worried about how this comes up as a an acceptable use. I know it falls underneath elections, but even underneath elections, we still have to, when we're taking federal money, I'm worried that we're not following the federal guidelines as well for procurement, even though it's an election process. So I'm concerned about, you know, following the process with it, and that's the reason why I'm not in favor of this.
One option would be to continue it for a week.
Right. Yeah.
And I would be fine with that. Josh, I don't know if you want to perhaps speak to how this is directly related to COVID.
Yeah. So during the 2020 election cycle, the Utah legislature essentially suspended all in-person voting, so traditional polling locations. And what they did instead was say that counties could opt to provide a drive-through option. And so given the obviously the importance of this particular election cycle and the interest statewide and the impact in our county, we did not want to leave potentially 7,500 to 10,000 voters out in the cold, so to speak, if for some reason they didn't get a ballot and they needed to show up on election day. And so we opted for the drive-through option. So we have four drive-through locations throughout the county for the June 30th primary. The challenge, though, is that those drive-through polling locations present an entirely new logistical challenge because we have anywhere from 7,500 to 10,000 vehicles showing up to one of four locations, creating potential traffic problems. And so we've had to sort of rethink how we manage an election for this particular election. And we've worked with, really across a collaboration of departments, emergency management folks, public works, health department and others to identify all of the needs to make sure that we're protecting public health and safety as we manage this drive-through operation. So these particular signs are for the traffic management part of that drive-through process. Renting's an option. The thing is that we don't know if we're going to have to use these again in the fall. The per-day rental, you'd have to program them, and so you'd have to have them for a few days for each election. And by the time you rent them for a couple of different operations, it's not much more to buy them. They're very useful for other kinds of operations, especially we're looking at the potential of not just a drive-through election operation, but then turning around and potentially having another kind of mass personnel event in some sort of a vaccination scenario. I know the health department's been anticipating and planning some kind of a public vaccination type process in the fall where a lot of people might be coming, and again you might have another challenge with traffic. So I think it's a good investment to obtain them, and that's kind of the reason why we looked at getting them, and the reason that we're using them right now.
Okay,
so they're $50,000, right? And what about the procurement policies with the federal government? I mean, even though that's a sticking point there, I mean, I don't, so how much money is it to rent three? Or, I mean, Public Works doesn't have any of these?
No, Public Works does not own any of these. They're not currently part of their fleet.
Yeah, we currently don't have any of these message boards in our fleet. We rented one, it would have been during the fire, there at the mouth of Payson Canyon. It was running us between $400 and $500 a day to have them there. So
what does that times out to be?
In terms of procurement, we follow just our county, our normal county procurement policy, which is both necessary and sufficient for everything that we do. There's no special federal procurement rules with CARES Act. There's sort of general principles in the law, but we follow just our standard county purchasing process for this particular purchase.
But anytime we receive federal funding, we fall underneath the federal funding procurement policies. Just, I don't know how we get away from that. I've never seen a way we can get out of that if we're receiving federal funds.
Sure, but there's nothing that we follow with our county procurement policy that's at odds with any of those rules.
Bidding?
We did get bids from different vendors on it. We had one vendor that was cheaper but could not meet the time frame we had for elections. The others were more expensive than this one, so.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm fine continuing it, but that's just kind of the background of it. So.
Okay.
Thank you. I would.
I'll make a motion that we continue this till our next meeting.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to continue consent agenda item number 22. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry 2-0. Next up, I had consent agenda item number 25, which is adopt a resolution approving and authorizing the execution of an interlocal cooperative agreement with Payson. And this coincides with consent agendas items numbers 27 through, I think it's 48. Memory serves me correct. Yep. So we do have a current version of this that was uploaded. Rob, maybe if you could just speak to us briefly about that and where we're at in this process.
Sure. Robert Morey, Utah County Attorney's Office. I was asked to draft this interlocal cooperation agreement. I did that. I think that was provided to the cities last week in coordination with the COG meeting. Since then, there have been some requests for some changes. After we sent it out initially, we received a change for Highland from Highland City. We made that change and accepted that change, and then it was sent out again on Friday morning. Kyle sent it out, I believe, with the Highland City change to it. Subsequent to that, I received additional changes today from a meeting of the city attorneys. I presented those to the commission. I've talked to you individually about this, and I was instructed to upload a version that accepted the change to section 10, which is the termination, but not to incorporate the changes to section 4.2, which is the double dipping provision, and also section 11, which is the indemnification provision. And so I have not uploaded a version that has that. The commission individually has a copy of the proposal from the city attorneys with that language, which was sent to you after I received it today. I think that's the current status. Also uploaded is Exhibit A, which references the amounts that each city and the unincorporated county will receive as part of this distribution if they accept the agreement. Let me think. Anything else? I did receive some information from Ezra, the assistant to Commissioner Ainge, that Mayor Reese had proposed some language that we not modify Section 11, but modify in accordance with the language that she proposed. And I have that here if the commission's interested in that. So I'm kind of wherever you want to go.
Could you maybe just go ahead and highlight for us the language change for Section 11 that was proposed
by Mayor Reese? Okay. Basically, her position was, and I believe it's a female, correct, Mayor Reese? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Said the city is not, she'd like to include that the city is not responsible for other cities or the county's misuse of the funds. I would modify that slightly to incorporate the nomenclature of the agreement, and I would say that recipient is not responsible for other recipients or county's misuse of the county allocation. My only concern about that is, and this is a concern I've had all along, part one of the county allocation is the $20 million. And as you know, from our COG meeting, that is going to be basically decided over by six mayors and Commissioner Ivey. And the question is, who's going to be liable for that $20 million? And so if I were to make a suggestion, I would probably say that the recipient is not responsible for other recipients or county's misuse of parts two and three of the county allocation. Part two of the county allocation is the $45 million, which is being divided by according to population of the cities, and part three is the part that's the county, $45 million. And kind of leave blank the part one, because I don't know who's going to be responsible for ultimately what happens if there's a misuse in part one, because that has not been determined yet.
Right.
I was told initially to kind of leave that somewhat vague, and based upon the meetings that you had with the mayor's, and I think that you consented to do that. I know that the city attorneys are concerned about Section 11, the indemnification. They would like it to be more like Salt Lake County's indemnification provision. My concern with that is our structure of this agreement is different than Salt Lake County's. Salt Lake County, once Utah County enters this agreement and pays the city that they're part of the allocation, we're done. I mean, this is it. That's our leverage gone, if you will. Salt Lake County is divided in three payments, so they still have control. The county loses its control, but once you make that payment. I think the commission has graciously decided with the mayors to do this at their request. And there is always the option of doing a reimbursement model, which we talked about at length initially. I know most of the mayors were not in favor of that, but I'm happy to make changes, but I would suggest no changes. Okay. Questions for me?
Not at the moment. I know for myself in reviewing it, I didn't personally have many concerns with the notation from Mayor Reese for clarification, to just make sure that it's clear in there that, you know, if another city misuses their money, another city can't be held liable for that. Sure. I think it makes
under 2 and 3.
Right, under 2 and 3. I think that makes tons of sense for me, in my opinion, to include that in there for clarification purposes, and following our legal counsel in leaving out the number 1 for vagueness. So I personally would be happy to pass this with the inclusion of that modification.
I will also mention that Mr. Brett Rich, the Santa Clara City Attorney, is here, and I think he wants to address this if you allow him to do so.
Absolutely.
Any other questions before I sit down?
Nope. Okay. He would be happy to hear additional comment on this subject.
Thank you, Commissioners. Appreciate the opportunity to address you on this issue. I came into this a little bit late, wasn't aware of the agreement, in fact, until just a day ago, and have had a lot of conversation with city attorneys from the county, and they asked that I appear and just present what the city attorneys had discussed. And you've addressed number 11, I believe, made a decision on that. I would simply then point your attention to section number 4. There were only 3 sections that the city attorneys had recommended changes to, but section 4, number 2 in section 4, was one of those. And simply had moved to add language: a recipient may not use any portion of the county allocation to cover expenditures for which a recipient receives reimbursement from another source. We felt that it was a little bit unclear from the language that was in there. What happened if cities receive, say, funding from FEMA that covers something under COVID that isn't being covered by the county, and felt that this simple statement would tend to clarify what the intent was in that case, that it wasn't double dipping. It wasn't something where the cities are taking funds from the county and funds from another entity simply to cover the same thing, but that there may be different funding sources to cover items that can be covered with the funds, but are not using the same funds for the same thing. So that's simply the intent of this change in section 4. And then clarifying that, just adding the language in the last sentence: recipient acknowledges that it shall receive no funds from the county for the purposes set forth in this agreement. Just to clarify that we are talking about funds for this agreement and not other funds that may be acquired through other agreements for other purposes. Do you have any questions for me on those items? Okay, we'd urge you to adopt, especially that change to section 4, number 2. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Commissioners, if you don't mind, let me just address one thing on that section 4.2, if I could, please. As it relates to the last provision there, I think the concern that I heard from the commission when we drafted this 4.2 was that they did not want the cities to come back to the county and seek COVID-related funds from other sources that the county might be overseeing, like CBDG or whatever kind of funds the county might be overseeing. So I think if you were going to adopt and accept that modification, I would suggest that the last sentence be modified further to say, and just eliminate their language and to say COVID-related funding or something like that. So it's clear that they're not going to come to the county for COVID-related funding. Now, they can still come to the county for, you know, parks and the things that they normally do when they come to the county and ask for sources of funding, but they're not going to come to the county for any COVID-19 related type funding. I think that's kind of the concern that I heard expressed when I was drafting this agreement by the county commission.
So. And I'm comfortable with the language that we have in here, especially on 4.2.
Without the change, Commissioner?
The way we have it uploaded right now. So okay. This is the current one. I'm comfortable with that language. That's been worked through all the way. We even had some little changes from, you know, Highland City brought forth a few little minor tweaks to it. This is incorporated into that. And so I feel comfortable with that. Again, with section number 10, I feel comfortable in incorporating that wording into it. And then I'm comfortable with section 11, unless we wanted to. And I'm okay with putting in there Mayor Reese's suggestion of I can't remember how it was exactly worded, but it was worded in such a way that it applies to 2 and 3, because I do acknowledge as well that first section, there's going to have to be some working that goes on there, and we can talk about that later. But that, you know, something has to be done there, because ultimately and all the way through it, the county is responsible.
Correct.
And because the county is responsible, there's going to have to be some sort of a tie to that. We're giving discretion and decision-making powers, but it's not ultimate decision-making powers, because there are guidelines that were sent to us that we have to follow, and I think they want to follow. I don't think they don't want to follow, but how that process works, we're going to have to work through it. So I'm again, and no disrespect, if you've been involved, you know, for a couple days on this, from what I've heard from the mayors, they're pretty much all on board with what we're trying to do, and trying to work this out. And they've asked us over and over. We even had a newspaper article that says, "Show me the money." And now here we are saying, "We've got it. Let's get this done." And I think that we're anxious to get it done today. I'm anxious to get it done today.
Yep.
If you want, just to read the language again from Mayor Reese, as modified slightly by myself. Recipient is not responsible for other recipients or counties' misuse of parts 2 and 3 of the county allocation.
That is, I think that's always assumed on our part.
It's
fine.
It's assumed on my part, but I'm happy to put that in writing, just so it's perfectly clear. And Ezra, correct me if I'm wrong, in my conversation with you, it sounds like Commissioner Ainge is okay there as well, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Any additional comment on these items? My understanding and anticipation, would we be able to address these as a block item in our motion?
Yes. I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution approving and authorizing the execution of the interlocal cooperative agreement. And also the agreement that is listed in there, with the slight modification as stated by Mr. Moore on the suggestion that came from Mayor Reese, with the words that he implied, and also there is a funding distribution chart that is included on there too, and those numbers that were in that chart that were uploaded would go into the cities as the funding source from the CARES Act.
Okay.
And that's with regard to item 25 and 27 through 48 of the
yes.
agenda, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, Perfect. I will second that. I have a motion and a second in relationship to consent agenda items numbers 25 along with 27 through 48 to adopt the resolutions with the modifications as noted by Mr. Rob Moore, with the funding allocation as noted by Commissioner Lee in the spreadsheet. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry 2-0. All right, we'll now move to regular agenda item number one in regards to the bond resolution.
I'll make a motion, unless there's comments.
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'll make a motion that that we adopt the resolution authorizing the issuance as the, of the and sale by the county as stated in number one on our regular published regular agenda.
Second. I have a motion and a second in relationship to approval of regular agenda item number one. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'll carry 2-0. Regular agenda item number two.
I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution, an adoption of the resolution authorizing the execution as stated in number two on our published regular agenda.
Second. I have a motion and a second in relationship to approving regular agenda item number two on our regular agenda. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It will carry 2-0.
Just for clarification, if I could, the two resolutions that you just approved, items one and two on the regular agenda, are in addition to the resolution which was previously approved following the public hearing, which adopted the resolution approving the issuance of the bonds pursuant or for the purposes of section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code.
Thank you. So noted. All right. We'll now move to regular agenda item number three. This is to look to adopt or deny an ordinance to amend the county zone map from CE1 to RA5. Rob, do you want to maybe just lead us off on this? I know this has been a continued item, and it's my understanding we have some updates on where we're at with this process.
Yes, and this actually pertains to items 3 and 4 on regular agenda. At the last meeting a couple weeks ago, you asked me to go ahead and make a contact to Mr. Kent Carroll's attorney, Leslie Slaw. I did. I had that discussion with him today. At length, we discussed the positives related to signing the development agreement and a rezone of his client's property. We discussed it. I identified some documents and things that maybe he wasn't aware of before that, and talked about the legal effect of those documents on his client's property. His client has some concerns as to the agreement. I understood the concerns that, as mentioned. I thought they were somewhat nominal. I did talk about that if we had to change the agreement at this point, it would require us to go back and get new signatures. And the Troyers have worked for about a year now trying to obtain all these signatures. I know they've spent a lot of time doing so, and that seemed like kind of a hard thing to do. He mentioned to me that his client doesn't necessarily object to what's going on, but that doesn't want to sign this. He was going to reach out to his client, which he did, and then contacted me back today, which he did, and his client still reaffirmed his position that he is unwilling to sign the development agreement. I did explain that his client's property is tied to the neighbor's property through what we called more recently a declaration of zoning lot. It was not the terminology that was used back in the 1977 and 1980, which when it was approved, but those two lots are tied together. So I think your options here today are you have a number of options. One, you could choose to deny both 3 and 4. You could choose to approve 3 and 4. If you do that, my recommendation to you would be to accept out of 4. Tax serial numbers 30072-0028, which is I believe that's the Hughes property, and 30072 0033, which is the Kent Carroll property. Let me just confirm that. I had it up a minute ago. Yes, that is correct. When I said the Hughes property on 307228, it's actually the Hughes and Morley property. That consists of approximately 57 acres. And then the Kent Carroll property, which consists of just short of 7 acres. If you do that, I would recommend that you, if you decide to approve it, that you would accept out both of those in 3 and 4. So the ordinance amending the zone map, the zone change, would not include those two parcels. And the development agreement, which has actually been signed by the Morleys and Hughes, but has not been signed by Kent Carroll. However, since they're tied together, I think they're a package deal, mm-hmm. quite frankly. And so that would be an option. The third option you could do is continue this on some longer and see if there's some additional, see if we can get it resolved somehow. I think they've tried. I've tried. I don't know what else you're going to be able to do there. Another option is you could consider the changes that Mr. Carroll wants, and we could redraft the agreement in accordance with those. We didn't really get into those details with them but if you want me to do that and go back to his attorney and get those details and redraft the agreement and then have Mr. Troyer start again, we can do that too. So those are kind of the options that I see. There may be other options that I'm not thinking of right now, but those are the options that I see. Do you have questions for me?
I think from my personal perspective, I know we've worked through this a great deal. I'm appreciative of the landowner and their efforts and patience in trying to bring resolution to this. I think that from my perspective, probably the appropriate thing to do would be to approval with the exemption of the parcels.
And I'm going to agree with that. Thank you for the work. I mean, all the work. There's a lot of work that's going on this. I was hoping that we could have a real clean one on this thing. It looks like it's going to be a little muddled. But especially when you got two property owners up there that one's kind of holding the other one somewhat hostage. And I think that they're going to have to work that out somehow, maybe for the future. But for now, I think that I feel the same way. And so I'm willing to make a motion.
Consider it.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the ordinance as stated in number 3. And is this the motion? Can I put them both together, 3 and 4? Can I put them both together, Rob?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 3 and 4 together with exempting out parcel number 30072-0028 and 30072-0033.
Second. I have a motion and a second to adopt and approve regular agenda items numbers 3 and 4, exempting out the noted parcel numbers. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry 2-0. All right.
Commissioners, yes. Item number 9 would be up next. I think you had moved to strike that.
Correct.
The suggestion would be to reconsider that. I think this is one fee that was not included previously. With regard to the fee schedule. So if that was the only reason why you thought it didn't...
I'm not sure there was a request. Ezra, do you know what that request was?
Yeah, so...
My understanding was we'd pass this. Go ahead, Ezra.
Yeah, it was my understanding that we passed... We had 2 motions, one for patrol and one for...
Oh, yeah, that's right, we did. We already...
Right.
This is already done.
The sheriff's and here, so...
Yeah.
I confirmed that with Yvette, and she said that they were both...
It's done.
Well. Right. That's
Commissioners?
Yes.
This is Court Griffin, remotely. The agenda item that was adopted 2 weeks ago adopted the Deputy Sheriff Supplemental Security Services fee. That is deputies in the the Judicial Division would provide security. This is a different fee for law enforcement services. It was discussed 2 weeks ago. The fee was adopted identically, but the only fee that was noticed was the security services fee. So that's why number 9 was put back on for the supplemental law enforcement fee.
So just because of technicalities, you're saying that the one had the fee in there and the other one did not, so okay. We need to do this so that we have them both.
It won't hurt.
Right.
Twice.
The Public Meetings Notice Act was not complied with as to number nine as it's currently stated.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get number nine done now then.
Do we need to undo it?
Motion to reconsider.
I'll make a motion to reconsider number nine on our regular agenda.
I'll second. I have a motion and a second to reconsider regular agenda item number nine. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'll carry 2-0. I'll now entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt an ordinance amending the Utah County government fee schedule as stated in number nine on our published regular agenda.
Second. I have a motion and a second to adopt regular agenda item number nine as stated. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry 2-0. That's what we get for trying to do it all last week.
Yeah, quick.
Trying to be
Thank
efficient.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you. All right, we'll now look to regular agenda item number 12 so we can set that meeting.
I'll make a motion that we set a date, time, and location for a public hearing to discuss the amending and increase in the 2020 Utah County budget as stated in number 12 on our published regular agenda for June 24th, 2020 at 3 p.m. in the room stated.
Second. I have a motion and a second to set the meeting as stated in regular agenda item number 12. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry 2-0. Commissioner Lee, you had a question.
This one is just so that I can make a motion that also has the address in there on calling the special order. That's all.
That works.
I'll make a motion that we approve the order calling for a special meeting of the Board of County Commissioners, Utah County, Utah, for June 24th, 2020 at 3 p.m. at in room 1400 of the County Administration Building located at 100 East Center Street in Provo, Utah.
Second. I have a motion and a second to approve the calling of the meeting as stated in regular agenda item number 13 with the notation of the address being at this location. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry 2-0. There's stricken 18, continued 22, continued 30. Next, I have number 34, held for discussion. And that is because I believe we need to actually name the recipient.
Yes. Robert Baxter, Purchasing Manager. This is for a learning management system. We actually had a very healthy response. 13 proposals were submitted, from which the committee decided to get presentations on nine of them. And they decided on their top three in order were number one, Relias, number two, Target Solutions, and number three, D2L. And I would note that their number one choice was unanimous.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept or receive the recommendation proposal for the RFP as stated in number 34, and that we make a selection of Realis as the preferred vendor, and we can go into negotiations with that.
I will second that. I have a motion and second to receive the recommendations as stated in number 34 with awarding to Realis and opening for negotiations for the awarding of the contract. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I will carry 2-0. Next, we will look at setting our closed meetings.
I don't think we have any, do we? Zero?
Do we have any?
It's a holiday.
There we go. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to strike then.
I'll make a motion to strike agenda item number 36, 37, 38, and 39.
I will second that. I have a motion to strike regular agenda items numbers 36 through 39. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That will carry unanimously 2-0. We have no work items submitted. We would now open the meeting for general public comment. Any from the electronic participants? Seeing and hearing none, I'll entertain a final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. I have a motion to second to adjourn. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'll carry 2-0. We're adjourned.